This morning's study title is Rebukes Against Hypocrisy. Rebukes Against Hypocrisy. In the Christian life, hypocrite is somebody who tries to appear more spiritual than he or she really is. These people know that they are deceiving. They know that they are deceiving others, and they hope that nobody will find out. And their Christian life is a shallow masquerade. When they continue in their hypocrisy, they do not only deceive others, but also they deceive themselves to the point they start to believe in their own deception. Have you seen somebody? Yeah, we all have seen people like that. Jesus showed his compassion to garden variety sinners and spoke to them about the truth and salvation. He did not have a problem with sitting next to tax collectors who were despised the most in the Jewish community. And he didn't have a problem with eating meal with them. And he didn't have a problem speaking to the prostitute. He didn't have a problem with the sinners who knew that they were sinners. But he had a major problem with those who pretend to be spiritual and those who tell other people they are spiritual, yet they are not. Mainly Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and lawyers. He saw them right through their religious phony baloney and sickeningly pious mumbo-jumbo and a double-minded, say one thing, do another thing. And in this chapter 23 of Matthew, Jesus dished out the most severe rebuke against hypocrisy in the entire Bible. This was our Lord's last public message. And it is the stern denunciation of the false religion that prayed under the guise of the truth. And there are about 6,000 Pharisees during that time, and we should remind ourselves that not all of the Pharisees are hypocrites. The name Pharisees came from the word that means to separate for the Lord their God. It has a great meaning, like a sanctified. But for the most part, the Pharisees used their religion to promote their own need and their own interest, material gain, and themselves. No wonder Jesus denounced them, and we need to hear that. Because there are times we all have to admit that we played a part of hypocrites. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We don't want to be the pretenders, Lord. You see right through us and know that we cannot fool you. We might be able to fool some people for a while. We might fool many people for a short time, but not for one moment we can. We want to be the one transparent in the presence of you and knowing that without you we are nothing. Away from you, we are not. Teach us so that we may learn from the examples of these Pharisees so that we may not do what they do, but we do what you want us to do. Father, we are asking you that your anointing to be upon us. Let the Holy Spirit open our heart to receive, and let the Holy Spirit open the mouth of the one who speaks and pour his anointing upon him and forgive his sins. We pray for the President Trump, that he may do what is right in your sight, not for his own, but for your glory. Praying for the uniformed personality, whether they are in the military, law enforcement, or fire department. We are asking you to protect them, keep them safe. More police officers have been killed this year than the last year this time. Father, we are asking you to comfort them and protect them. Pray this in Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 23, please. Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, and saying that the scribes and Pharisees are sitting in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But, there is but, do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. Verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and hard to bear and lay them on the man's shoulder, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Stop there, please. Jesus says the respect is due to the scribes and the Pharisees because they have the authority of Moses, but not because of their conduct. They hold the office of authority and ordained by God, but they are not doing what they are called to do. Same goes for any pastors. If they are not teaching the Word of God, they should not be supported in the tele-evangelist or anyone who call themselves the pastors or teachers. If they are not teaching the Word of God, they should not be supported. There are a lot of reasons that there are a lot of people who support this. Who knows what they teach? I used to listen to them just to see what kinds of garbage they are teaching. I stopped doing that. The reason that their ministry is still continuing is because people do not listen to do not read the Word of God. They just buy whatever they say and they'll go for it. The first accusation against these religious leaders could apply to many religious leaders today. Many still make Christianity a set of burdensome rules to follow. Some of the Christian denominations demand that you have to speak in tongues to be saved, or you have to be baptized in a certain way by their own denomination to be saved. Both are wrong. I've been in one side where they demanded that you have to speak in tongues, otherwise you are not a real Christian. Bogus. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that. Go to verse 5, please. Now we see Jesus exposing the flaws of the Pharisees. All their works they do to be seen by men. Stop there. Let me just give a comment here. If you do anything for the church, for the Lord, do it quietly. Do it unto the Lord. You don't need to broadcast so that people say, oh, Ara boy, Ara girl. You just receive the reward. When you get to heaven, you will say, Lord, you remember the things that I did at the church? He said, what? You already got it. You ain't going to get another reward. Try not to get the recognition from the people. If you have a gift of worship, a gift of playing instrument, do it for the Lord. If you have a gift of singing, do it for the Lord. If you have a gift of other things, do it for the Lord. Don't mention it. If people say, that was great, just say thank you. Don't start to, that's nothing but to continue. Just say thank you, praise God, and move on. Okay? Back to word. Verse 6. I'm sorry. They make their phylactery broad and enlarge the borders of their garment. They do the best. They love best place at feast and best seat in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not call Rabbi. You do not be called Rabbi. For one is your teacher, and you the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, or one is your father who is in heaven. And do not call to be teacher, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Stop there again, please. To them, success means recognition by men and praise from men. They do not concern about the approval of God. They use their religion to attract attention to themselves, not to glorify God. Pharisees thought being recognized as a Pharisee is God's anointing. And they thought that that was a mark of greatness. And they want to be known that way in the synagogue and the marketplaces. They also thought the title is very important as a mark of greatness. Since Jesus Movement in the 1970s, some of you guys remember Jesus Movement, and some of you have been born again from that time. American Christianity started to have mega churches. When I say mega churches, it's like 5,000-6,000 people and above, that many congregations. They have a gigantic auditoriums. And those churches, some of those church pastors and the other well-known Christian authors and singers and whatever you want to call them, they start to put themselves in the Christian celebrity status. Let that sink in. Christian celebrity has two aspects. One who make themselves to be Christian celebrity, and the one from the people who give them that celebrity status. When you start to throng after those people, you are making them all the more. Remember this. They did not do anything for your salvation. God has placed the spiritual leaders in the church, and they must not replace God in our lives. True spiritual leaders direct their people into the freedom from bondage and closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Not into the bondage of his idea, ways, and recognition of themselves. There are people who ask me, why did you start to attend the Calvary Chapel? The reason has one thing. Calvary Chapel taught the Word of God, as is. They didn't try to insert their own opinions. They didn't follow denomination. Calvary Chapel is not even a denomination. Even it has a power of denomination, it's not a denomination. It's like a denomination. To be a, now let me give a side note, no extra charge. To be a denomination, you gotta send them from whatever we get here in church offering, you gotta send the portion of that to the headquarters denomination. You follow me? And of course, there's some benefit of having a denomination. Pastors get the insurance, all these different things, all the church loans. We don't have that. When Karen and I left the Calvary Tucson, where the Pastor Robert Ford was pastoring, he said, God bless you. If you need anything, call me. If you need money, don't call me. You know why he said that? He wanted me to depend on God. My answer to him was, I would not ask for a penny. If before I do that, I will die. 17 years, not a penny we asked. God provided everything. This building was provided by God. And with the hard work of many capable people, that's not me. Don't know squat about it. So I just tell them, look good, okay. It is God, nothing more, nothing less. Don't look at anyone else. I know you guys have a favorite authors. They didn't give you salvation. Don't try to make a Christian celebrity. You with me on that? It doesn't matter how famous they are. They're only famous until your memory disappeared. But your God is forever. Now Jesus is going to pronounce 8 woes. And he was angry at their sin and what those sins were doing to the people's lives. And his attitude was one of the painful sorrow that the Pharisees were blinded to God's truth to their own sin. The best way, remember what I taught you, the best way to understand this Bible is using Bible, right? Cross-referencing. So I'm going to utilize the same method. This 8 woes is the contrast with the 8 beatitude found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord described the true righteousness. And here, Jesus described the false righteousness of Pharisees. First thing we find is a shutting up the kingdom in verse 13 of chapter 23. I want you to keep your finger in chapter 23 and turn to chapter 5 of Matthew. We're going to go back and forth. So starting with the chapter 23, verse 13, we're going to read that. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Verse 3 of chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why was Jesus so mad at all the Pharisees and the scribes? Is it bad enough for a person to choose to go to hell by their own choice, but it's the most damnable thing for a person to drag others to hell with them by giving him a wrong gospel of Jesus Christ? Remember what I often tell you? There's something better than going to heaven. What is that? Taking someone with you, right? So what's the worst than going to hell? Is dragging somebody with you by telling them, oh, you can do it tomorrow. Oh, it's not real. There are many people who will give a wrong gospel to the unbelievers. Those unbelievers will end up in the hell, and their blood is on that person's hand. Many of you know that Robert Schuller, the late pastor of the Crystal Cathedral in California, he said this. Read word per word. In other words, this is what he said. Jesus had an ego. He said, if I will be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Whoa, what an ego trip he was on. This is word per word. You can check it. Robert Schuller said that. You know, Jesus does not have an ego problem. He said, I'll be lifted up. That's a part of process for mankind's salvation. And if he says, I'm the owner of the universe, how can that be ego? He owned the universe. He created the universe. He's stating the fact. Am I correct? Jesus is the creator and God. Robert Schuller is a mere creature. One moment he was in, next moment he was gone. And he was the one who was making the people stray from, away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second war is verse 14. Now we see the destroyer condemned. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' house and for a pretense make a long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Verse 4 of chapter 5, please. Flip it there. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. See, Pharisees stole the widow's house in the name of a good business and stewardship and made the long prayers for the big recognition. And they used their religion as a cloak of covetousness. And they said, well, we will take care of you, widow, from the temple money, and they don't. We see the exact same pattern in the ministry of some of the crooked televangelists. Fred Price, some of you guys heard about him. He said, the Bible says that he left us an example and we should follow his steps. That's the reason why I drive Rolls Royce. I follow Jesus' steps. Cleflo Dollar, another televangelist. I'm telling you, Jesus wasn't poor. He didn't wear no rags. He didn't have no rags on. He wore designer clothes, honey. I don't know what kind of designer clothes they had at that time. These two evangelists and many more, they have a Rolls Royce private jet, like a Kenneth Copeland. He has a Cessna Citation, $22 million jet. Customized jet. Not one. Three of them. What does he need the three? Okay, if he can justify maybe one, so he doesn't have to wait in the line like the rest of human being. But he goes from the LA to, no, I'm sorry, Dallas to LA, and then change the plane, and from there to back to Dallas, and from there to change the plane. Is it really necessary? And these people live in the multi-million dollar mansion. On TV, they beg for money from the viewers. And they say, to plant the financial seed of your faith in this ministry. God will return your faith seed in hundredfolds. My return and reply comment is, if you have that much faith, why don't you plant your financial seed of faith to those old ladies who send their social security check to your ministry, and that you can have maybe hundredfold of your return on investment? Why don't you do that? They wouldn't do that. If they have a real faith in God, they will let the people know, hey, we have a need. Pray about it. God bless you. Stop there. Some people wonder where we have, how we get the money. Do you know how we get the money? Agape Box. Gary Holy mentioned about it at the public bulletin announcement. It's there. To this point, never once we've been in red. Am I correct? For 17 years, we've never been in red. God provided. It's not you provide. God provided through you. You being obedient. That's faith. I'm hot under my collar. Third woes. Proud sends souls to hell. Verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you travelers, you travel and land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Verse 5 in Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Pharisees go out and win the others to their legalistic system. Zeal in evangelism does not, listen carefully please, zeal in evangelism does not prove that person is right with God. They make proselyte, but they convert, their convert cannot learn anything good from their mentors. The convert usually showed more zeal than his mentor. This double devotion only produced double condemnation. How tragic that people can think that they are going to heaven, actually they are going to hell. Jewish religious leaders are similar to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses today. And they are courageous and energetic messengers, but with a false message. I met young Mormon, they call themselves elders, but they are barely 20, and they said, they talk about their message. I listened to them, I asked them questions, and they are dumbfounded. They cannot answer. Then before I leave, I tell them, your Christ is not the same Christ, my Christ, that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Savior and the creator of the earth, and he is God himself. To them is a just creature. When the Jehovah's Witnesses come around on Saturday morning, knock on my door, I used to invite them just for fun of it, and I stopped doing that. I thought, you have a weird, wicked mindset to stop doing that. I was going for the head. That was wrong attitude. They have an energetic message. They have a sincere message. They study their Bible sincerely. But their Bible is wrong, false. This one is true. Amen? All right, fourth woe, verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides, who say that whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Fool and blind, for which is greater, gold or the temple that is sacrificed the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, For which is greater, the gift or the altar that sacrifice the gift? Therefore, he who swore by the altar and swore by it and by all things on it, and he who swore by the temple swore by it and by him who dwelt in it, and he who swore by the heaven swore by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Go to the chapter 5, verse 6, please. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, the Pharisees were hungering, or not hungering for righteousness, integrity, truth, and simplicity. They worked out their religious system that permit them to rob God and the others and still maintain their reputation. And swearing by altar, but not for the gift of altar, and all that stuff, you know what it means? Well, if you bring the gift to the altar, or if you bring the gift, gold to the temple, now you are obligated, you say, I'm going to give a gold to the temple, this many gold, this much gold, now you are obligated to perform. But if you say anything about the temple, you are not. What they're doing is they're binding people with the bondage. Are you with me on that? Do you understand? You don't? Yes and no? Yes. Don't do, yeah, I get it, like high school. They are putting their religious system on the people, so they must perform. We've been in the situation, Karen and I have been in the situation, if you say, I will do this, now your pledge means everything. You have to give money to that ministry. We've even duped before because I didn't know better. Let me say this again and again. The tithe, the offering you promised to God, is you give, more you give, the more you bless. How you get blessed, that's how He handles it, not the way I handle it. It's a good thing I don't handle that. I won't make a mess in this world. Remember, that is between you and God. You take care of yours. Don't let me get in the way. You trust Him with your finances. He will give you a blessing beyond your recognition. All right, verse 23. Woe to you. This is a fifth woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and the cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. This you ought to have done without leaving others undone. Blind God, you strain out the net and swallow a camel. You think God has a sense of humor? Oh yeah, He has. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Pharisees major in on minors. They had rules for every area of life. Yet, at the same time, they forgot about the important things. It is usually the case of the legalists who are strictler for details but blind to the greater principles. These Pharisees thought nothing of condemning innocent Jesus to be crucified. But yet, they would not walk into the Pilate's home because they might be defiled because they are about to have a Passover. They are concerned about their traditionalism, but they are not concerned about the law of God. Six woes in verse 25, back to chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse outside the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of cup and dish, that outside of them may be clean also. Chapter 5, verse 8, please. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And the Pharisees were careful to keep outside very clean, because that was the part that men would see. And they wanted the praise of men. But God sees the heart. When God looked at within, He saw the full of extortion and the self-indulgence. I said this, I will say again and again and again. What you say, what you do here doesn't mean a squat to God. You understand? What you do here, what you say, and how you act in the church doesn't mean anything to God. But what you do, what you say, what you think, behind the closed door, where no one is watching, that matters to God. Seventh woe, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. By the way, if you're being convicted right now, it's not me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit's doing it. Don't say no to Him, please. I'm not condemning you. Holy Spirit's convicting you. He has a long index finger jabbing your breastbone. Say yes to Him. Don't be callous. Verse 27 again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like a whitewashed tomb, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside were full of dead men's bone and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear the righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Stop there and go to chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. One is lawlessness, the other one is peace. Jewish people were careful not to touch dead bodies or anything related to the dead. So they, during the time, their particular time, they would paint the tombs, paint the tombstone white, so that nobody accidentally stumbled upon the dead grave, especially during the Passover night. They were careful. But what God sees, this is a graphic picture, what God sees inside of their heart is full of dead men's bone and filthiness. Have you ever seen excavated casket they opened up and really not smelly and really bad, and the wood's coming out from the dead body? It's not pretty. The great evangelist of yesterday, D.L. Moody, once said, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. I love the way he said. Character is what God knows about you. Okay? Character is what God knows about you, and reputation is what people know about you. Because you can pretend and make a reputation that you are good and godly. But you cannot lie your character that God knows about you. Final woe in verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophet and adorn the monument of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been the partaker with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are the witness against yourself that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophet. Verse 22. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt, and serpents and brood of vipers. Jesus is making friends, a lot of friends here. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogue, persecuted from city to city, that on you may call all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, from whom you murdered between the temples and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who killed the prophet and the stones of those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Go to chapter 5, verse 10, please. Chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecute the prophets who were before you. Stop there. Pharisees and their kind are guilty of all the righteous blood shed in the name of the religion, their religion. First matter recorded in the Old Testament is recorded in chapter 4 of Genesis, Abel. And the last one recorded in the Old Testament is Zechariah, son of Berechiah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 20 through 22. You claim that you are a Christian in the church. Your identification with Jesus does not stop at the door right over there. As you walk away from that door, as you walk into the restaurant or the Walmart or wherever you go, Walmart happens to be my favorite joint, because they sell ammunition, man. Your identification with Jesus does not stop at the door. You with me on that? You go with Jesus. You go with the Holy Spirit who lives in you. However you act, however, whatever you speak, people hear, people see. Now you are writing the gospel according to your name. We have Matthew, is the true name of the book, is Gospel according to Matthew, Gospel according to Mark, Gospel according to Luke, Gospel according to John. What kinds of gospel are you writing? Gospel according to Greg, Gospel according to Wayne, Gospel according to Bill. Are you writing the right gospel? Three applications. Number one, true spirituality is not something you can display outside as we want. It only shows during the time of difficulty from inside of our heart. No offense to any Catholic people. All these people who, especially in the Vatican, they walk around with a holy look at the cost of what? I don't want you to walk around with that look like a saint. I don't know what the saint look like. The real test of your spiritual condition comes alive when you are in the deep kimchi. You know what the kimchi is? A horrible taste food. It's a Korean food. And the son will kill me after this. It's a quiet taste. Let's just put it that way. When you are in deep trouble, that's when you have a real spiritual condition. Second application. We must see our own sin in the way God sees them. Can you repeat that with me? We must see our own sin in the way God sees them. If we see our own sins the way God sees us, God sees them, there are not a sin that we want to. Amen? Third application. We must remember that God despises hypocrisy. God despises hypocrisy. In other words, don't do it. Right? Be honest. If you don't know, if you cannot do it, it's okay to say, I don't know. Nothing wrong with that. Amen?